So the independent panel looking into the Palapala controversy and scandal and the role of President Cyril Ramaphosa in that has finally delivered its work. Three, what looked to me, pretty large volumes handed over by the convener of the panel, the head of the panel, the former Chief Justice Ngobo, handed over to the Speaker of Parliament, Nosiviwe Mapisa Nqakula. So to talk about what that panel may have had to consider and what might be in the report, we will know much later today, it would seem, exactly what the contents are, and then people will have to wade through three volumes. We're joined by law professor, political commentator and columnist, Professor Richard Callan. Prof, welcome and thanks for your time. As people will know, you were originally nominated for the panel. You decided to step back when there was a degree of controversy around your appointment. But let's engage with the things you've been considering and weighing up and indeed writing about in regard to the work of the panel. This, you point out in articles you've written, is absolutely fresh ground for South Africa. Tell us why.
Yes, good afternoon, John, and thank you for having me on. It is fresh ground because this is the first time this two-stage process has been used in relation to the impeachment of the president. And the first stage is this investigation by an independent panel. Their job is to assess the available evidence that's put before them.
Right.
And that available evidence has to be put forward by Parliament, by members of Parliament. It's constrained in that sense. Then they had a responsibility to give the president an opportunity to respond. I've got my hands on his response. I've speed read it. It's quite lengthy, but got the gist of it. And then they have to make a determination. And that determination is very straightforward. It is as follows. Is there sufficient evidence of either serious violation of the law or serious misconduct? If there is sufficient evidence, then the process moves to stage two, which is a parliamentary inquiry and ultimately a vote.
So the violation of the law could include a violation of the Constitution. Would it be fair to say that the scope for determining a possible violation of the Constitution is wider, whereas the law often sets down quite specific things, for example, in defining fraud? Constitution has, dare I say, more of a moral aspect to it as well?
Well, there's certainly some important principles and indeed important rules established by the Constitution.
Right.
It's not clear to me so far what particular constitutional rule or principle would have led to a credible accusation of serious violation by the president. It's much more likely that there is perhaps evidence of a violation of the law, perhaps in relation to disclosure of this money, or in terms of, for example, foreign exchange rules and regulations, that kind of thing. And indeed, that was part of what I think was thrown at the president via the accusations made in the evidence adduced to the panel by ATM, the small political party that triggered these impeachment proceedings. Judging by what I've read of the president's response to those allegations and to that evidence,
yes,
to the panel, what he basically says is, I am the single owner of this farm. The farm is a company. The company has the duties to make the relevant disclosures and so on. As far as he knows, they do that in line with the law in relation to tax. The company decided to sell some buffalo. They sold some buffalo for about $580,000. And a decision was taken by a staff member to secure, or not secure as it turned
yes.
out, the money in the sofa at the private residence of the president on the farm, thinking that that would be a safe place to put it. But in fact, it turns out, according to the president, that the private residence is not guarded by his usual protection unit, and therefore someone was able to steal it. And that's what happened in February 2020.
So what we're going to do, Prof. Callan, I've got loads of questions, and I'm certain our listeners have some of their own as well. Do send those to us on 072-702-1702. We'll be back in our conversation with UCT Law Professor and political commentator, Professor Richard Callan, in a moment. Back on our conversation with Professor Richard Callan, Law Professor, talking about not what is in that Palapala reports that was put forward by former Chief Justice Norbo today and handed over to Parliament, but the process by which the independent panel would have gone about their work. Prof, one of the things you say in an article you've written is that to some extent, or perhaps considerably, the work of the panel will have been framed by the way in which the motion was framed. Explain that to us. Did they simply have to respond to the question the motion asked? Is that where the limitation is?
So, yes. And one has to keep reminding oneself that this is a parliamentary process.
Yes.
Impeachment happens through Section 89 of the Constitution, and it happens in Parliament. And therefore, it's triggered by a motion, in this case, a motion from the small political party, the ATM. And the inquiry has to consider evidence relevant to and related to that motion. And the motion, I don't have the wording in front of me, but it was essentially constraining itself in relation to what happened in February 2020 at the farm that Cyril Ramaphosa owns and his response to the robbery or the theft.
What about process? I mean, you spoke earlier, Prof, about interested parties, political parties submitted what they believed the panel ought to consider, and there was also an input from the president. Would the president have had sight, according to the rules of what, for example, the ATM or the EFF or any other UDM might have submitted, or was everybody required to make their submissions off their own bat without having sight of what other people were saying?
So, as I understand it, what the panel did, in line with the rules that govern how they operate, was firstly to invite members of parliament, this being a parliamentary process, invite members of parliament to submit evidence to them. And that's what happened. And then, secondly, to give the president an opportunity to respond. Now, in his response, amongst other things, he says two things. He says, first of all, I only have to respond to things, evidence, allegations related to the motion, as you and I discussed a moment ago.
Right.
In fact, in his submission, he goes beyond that and says, I'm willing to go beyond that and respond to some of the other allegations, even though they are not I'm not legally required to. And he responds, for example, to an allegation that there's a conflict of interest, that he should have disclosed or should have, in fact, divested this particular interest in this farm. And he makes a very strong argument against that in order to deal with it in his papers. And then secondly, he makes reference to the mountain of evidence that apparently was presented to the panel, which he says is either irrelevant or he doesn't understand it. He talks about hundreds of photographs of people standing by cars and so on.
Yes.
He simply says, I've no idea who these people are, what these photographs are of. And I think that's in line with his other part of his defense, which is that insofar as the protection unit of the presidency took matters into their own hands under the leadership of General Ruda, he says he doesn't know what happened then. And,
yes.
And it's not his responsibility, and therefore there can be no culpability in relation to how they decided to handle matters thereafter.
Do we need to remind ourselves, Prof, that this is, we're 20 minutes into a football match, still to come, the Hawks, the South African Reserve Bank, SARS, and the Public Protector?
I'm sorry, John, I don't understand your question.
Okay, so some people might say, okay, well, this is the president over this hurdle, if indeed he is.
I beg your pardon. I've been very obtuse. I get your footballing metaphor now. Sorry, my apologies.
Yes, so very right. Very early in the Palapala game.
Yes and no. I think this is the major hurdle, and certainly in terms of the ANC's conference next month, this was a significant hurdle. If, and of course we don't know yet, if the panel say that there isn't sufficient evidence to proceed, if I had to bet on it, I would say that's the likely outcome later. But let's see. And, of course, much will depend on how they've marshalled the evidence. And as you said in your introduction, we've got three volumes, apparently, from the panel chaired by former Chief Justice Norbo. So it will be a very interesting read. And it's an important moment in Ramaphosa's political career. It's an important moment in the ANC electoral process, no doubt. And therefore, it's important for the country. As to the other investigations, well, we'll have to wait and see. On the version of events that Ramaphosa has now presented, at least in the documents I've read, which was his response to the panel and to the evidence presented to the panel, he's basically saying, clearly, I've done nothing wrong. And that's his case. It does beg a question, John, as
yes.
to why he didn't present this account, this really quite straightforward account of what happened and his
right.
response and his conduct, and his good conduct, as he puts it, why he hasn't presented that to the public over the last few months.
Thanks so much, Prof. Richard Calland. Thoughts on that Pala Pala investigation?